I find that interesting short story. It's, again, the title is Gemeinschaft, which is a German word. And that German word translated means fellowship. Fellowship. You know, in many church circles, including ours, this word is said and a lot of times mentioned a lot. It's mentioned a lot. I know in my mind growing up, I heard the word fellowship. Well, after services, we're all going to fellowship. And I thought, well, I looked around what everybody did, and it just seemed like chit-chat. Well, maybe fellowship is just chit-chat. In reality, fellowship is both a noun and a verb. It's a noun and a verb. It's not simply just a verb, the act of fellowshipping. You know, just like the story, the five friends were a fellowship. They were a community. They were a partnership. They were an association with one another. But they said we could not indulge in conversation with that sixth person, else that would amount to entrance into their group, into their fellowship. Meaning that the act of conversation, the act of fellowshipping, would initiate or grow their fellowship. See, there's a noun of fellowship and the verb of fellowship. We can both be in a fellowship and take part in the act of fellowshipping. So the question is, what fellowship do we in the Church of God belong to? The noun. And how does this fellowship affect our lives? And the other side of the coin is, what role should the act, the verb of fellowshipping, play within our fellowship? So I'd like to look at those two questions today. Two main questions. What fellowship are we in? And what role does fellowshipping play within our fellowship? And so the title for today's message is The Importance of Fellowship. So the first question we asked is, what fellowship do we belong to in the Church of God? What's the source of our fellowship? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Gives us insight unto what fellowship we belong in or to. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Here Paul is in the initial greeting to the Corinthians. At the very end of his greeting, he says, you know, God is faithful, and he has called you into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's meaning the fellowship is belonging to or headed up by Jesus Christ. God set the fellowship up with Jesus Christ as the head. Describes the source of our fellowship. God the Father is the source of our fellowship that we have with each other and with Jesus Christ. Each and every one of us has been called by God the Father through Jesus Christ into the fellowship of which Jesus Christ is the head, the owner. That's the basis of our fellowship, our unity within the church. It's interesting, in verse 9, he makes this important statement about fellowship. It's not to be taken lightly, because then in verse 10, Paul goes right into the purpose of his letter to the Corinthians. In verse 10, it says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He had just identified Jesus Christ as the head of the fellowship that we've been called into by God the Father. And so by that head, he says, I plead with you that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Paul gets into the very point of his letter, and then verse 11 says, for it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. You know, Paul, his purpose in addressing the Corinthians was to address the division that existed in Corinth. And before he starts addressing that, he calls the Corinthians out and says, you are called into the fellowship, the unity of Jesus Christ by God the Father, that bond, that connection we share, which is from God. And yet, there was division among you. You were called into one body, and you should all speak the same thing. All have the same mind, as he goes to in verse 10. But he says, there are divisions among you, among that fellowship, that noun of the fellowship that they were called into, and we are called into. And the word for divisions is schismata, and it means rips or tears. So in verses 9 and 10, Paul is saying that we are called into one fellowship, the fellowship of God, and yet the people in Corinth were tearing and ripping apart what God had called together to be one. There's a lot in with those two verses. And it goes to show us an example, and we ask the question, what fellowship have we been called into? Well, the answer is we've been called into fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. The one fellowship, the fellowship. And as such, this fellowship, this union that we share in God and Jesus Christ, overrules whatever else may divide us as individuals. And that's what was happening in Corinth. They were dividing each other, ripping and tearing at the fellowship which God had called together. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. When we read the whole New Testament, this theme comes up over and over and over in Paul's writings. And he was dealing with tremendous social issues at that time. The Jews hated the Gentiles. They thought they should have no association with them. And yet Jews were called into the church. The Greeks didn't like the Jews. There were people who were slaves, and there were people who were freed. Slaves were treated horribly. They were thought as not even property, but you could abuse them, you could do whatever you wanted to them. It was below even an animal. And yet slaves were called into the fellowship. Masters were called into the fellowship. Jews, Greeks, all these were called into the fellowship, not to mention the differences you have between male and female. Women were not thought highly of back then. And so Paul, in a lot of his letters, is addressing, hey, we've been called into a fellowship, and yet we have our differences among us. In Galatians chapter 3, in verse 26, it says, "For you are all sons of God, through faith in Jesus Christ." That's the fellowship we've been called into. Sons of God, sons of the Father, through faith in Jesus Christ. "For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." Now, those of us who have been baptized, we made a commitment, and we entered into this fellowship, and we've put on Christ as the head of this fellowship. And then in verse 28, it says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." I look around in the room today, and we still have male and female. We're not generic genders. But what Christ is saying, or what God is saying through Paul, no matter our race, no matter our ethnicity, our tribe, whether we're married, single, young adult, senior citizen, slave or free, which none of us are, male or female, all those designations serve to separate us in the world. All those designations separate us, yet the fellowship that we've been called into trumps that. The fellowship of God the Father through Jesus Christ tears down those divisions in order to bring us into one fellowship. It's a common thread that serves to unite all of us. And as human nature, we tend to look at other human beings based on what divides us and get ourselves into groups and say, well, I'm a young adult. I can't hang out with senior citizens. But God says, not in the church. That doesn't happen in the church. We are all of one fellowship. Those divisions that we've had no longer exist when it comes to God's church and our fellowship. You know, there's not a sense, you know, that story that we read, there's not a sense that we can not afford to add that sixth person. We have a good thing growing with our group. Let's just elbow out that sixth person. That's not how it works in this fellowship. Instead, as God calls more into his fellowship, you know, the existing fellowship needs to be welcoming of that member, despite whatever differences we may have, ethnicity-wise, gender-wise. What may have divided us in the world, we have something that supersedes those divisions in our fellowship that we are a part of. You know, the answer to the question of what fellowship do we in the Church of God belong to? We belong to the fellowship of God the Father through Jesus Christ. We share in that fellowship. And that fellowship supersedes the things that used to divide us. That used to divide us. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. This is not a superficial fellowship. This fellowship that we have unites us together, but not superficially. There's great meaning in this fellowship. 1 John chapter 3. No, excuse me. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Christ Jesus." So John here is saying, we have fellowship with one another, and our fellowship is with God the Father and Jesus Christ. We just talked about that. That's where our fellowship is. And then continuing on, it says, "And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him," did we not just say that we did in the preceding verse and in the verses we read in 1 Corinthians? "If we say that we have fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." So this is not just saying, yeah, we have a bond with one another. This is saying if we live our lives a certain way, then we don't have fellowship with God, that we're not part of that fellowship. In verse 7, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins." We have already had reiterated that we have been called into fellowship with God. And John says that. "And through him we share in fellowship." So we have fellowship with God, and as individuals, one-on-one with God. But collectively, we have fellowship. And we are brought together in that fellowship. But this fellowship is not simply a fan club. It's not a fun club to join and be a part of. It literally describes how we ought to live our lives, how we define our lives. Let me give you an example. When I was in high school, I was in concert choir. Now, concert choir was the elite choir of my high school. I'm not saying I have a good voice, but I enjoyed, they had a lack of men. So any men basically got into concert choir when you auditioned. Well, within that concert choir, there was a men's club. We said, well, let's do a men's quartet, and we had more than that, so it ended up being just a men's group, small group. And so we got together Tuesdays and Thursday mornings, I think it was, and we were part of a fellowship, the fellowship of the men's club that we had together. Well, that did not define my life. Simply because I was in the men's club, in the concert choir, I did not go around constantly singing, promoting our concerts. That was a part of my life. I was just a part. I was part of that fellowship on Tuesdays and Thursdays and whenever we had a concert. That didn't define how I lived my life. But what John is saying here, God is saying through John, is that we are part of a fellowship. Not something that's on the side, Tuesdays and Thursdays or Saturdays. But this fellowship defines how we live our life, how we walk. If we are in fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ and with each other, we will be walking. We'll have the unique identifier of walking in the light as Christ walked in the light. Walking or living as Christ lived. That's how we identify. That's a unique identifier to each and every one of us. Living our lives based on the truth of God, striving to 100%. Our fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ defines us. It defines our lives. You know, the choir is just a small part, so to speak. But this is our lives. This is our lives. It becomes our way of life. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. The point being made is this fellowship, the noun that we've been called into, is not something to take lightly. It's not something that we can haphazardly join. You can't just say, oh, that sounds like fun. I think I'll try that for a little while. You can't do that. Not with this fellowship. When we enter this fellowship and we made that commitment, we made a commitment for the rest of our lives in every aspect of our lives to walk in the light and to help each other walk in the light as part of that fellowship. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? You know, it seems very harsh what's being said here by Paul. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? They can't combine the two. If you have fellowship with God that we've said that we do, that we claim that we do, then you can't have fellowship with the world or the ungodly things. You can't mix. You can't mix the two. If you walk in darkness, you're no longer in the fellowship of God the Father. Continuing on, it says, and what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? How much darkness can we allow in our lives before we're no longer walking in the light? That's what's saying here, is you can't have a little bit of both. It's like in James, it talks about the tongue. You know, does a spring give forth both bitter water and fresh water? No. If it gives up any amount of bitter water, it's bitter water. It's either completely clean or it's dirty. Continuing on, it says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You know, this reminds me of what Mr. Johnson's sermon last week. You can't partake in just a little bit of the world. Anything that's false, you can't have a little bit of it. We are called to walk in pure light. You know, this fellowship defines our way of life. We can't have competing fellowships in our lives. We can't have competing fellowships. If at some point my concert choir men's club fellowship came in conflict with the fellowship of God, which fellowship trumps? Which one wins? That does not mean we can't participate in other things. We can sing in the choirs. We can join the sports clubs, do the different activities. We can do those things that are good and right. But it's all filtered through what it means to be in the fellowship of God. As it says here, we're the temple of the God. We're in temple of God. God dwells among us. We can't have any unclean thing in us. You know, we can be on the basketball team. You know, when I was younger, basketball, that's what it was. I went through a phase with basketball. But if there's a basketball game on the Sabbath, at that point, the fellowship of God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And the basketball team fellowship says, games are on Saturday. Come to the basketball game. You have to choose which fellowship are we a part of. You know, it's a very important fellowship that we are a part of, and it identifies itself in the way that we live our lives. Every day, every thought, every word that comes out of our mouth. Yet, we can notice that among ourselves. It can be seen. We can say, yes, we're striving. We're getting to know each other. But it also serves to identify ourselves as in the fellowship of God to the world, doesn't it? we are seen as different. And that's difficult sometimes. I know a lot of times, especially when we're younger, but it doesn't go away when we get older, there's pressure, peer pressure, and we face it. We're trying to walk in the light, and the world doesn't like it when you walk in the light. Because then it shines on their darkness, so to speak. And then it becomes difficult because they're pressuring you to no longer walk in that light. If we don't go to the basketball game, we have to swim against the flow of what every person, every other person in our school, at our job may be doing. You know, even if we're not called out specifically, I know growing up, it seemed I was in the cross country team and the track team, and nobody cared about you until you got good. You can come and go. But then when you got good, they said, well, you have to run on the track meet. Well, no. But it seemed every week there was a Saturday meet. They said, well, you got to run. We need you on the team. Even if it's not spoken specifically, there's an unspoken pressure to fit in. It can wear us down day in, day out. You know, there's a seemingly continual pressure from Satan and the whole world in general. And I think we have, the way I think of it is, one of the things that we have that can bolster us are the holy days to keep us focused. You know, we have those guidelines of what's important, those posts, those pillars throughout the year. Well, right now we're in the middle of a gap, right? We have 6 months between Tabernacles and Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread, Tabernacles and the eighth day. You have 6 months. Not only that, but we have the world's holidays, Christmas, New Year's, Valentine's Day. They all come in between here. And there's pressures at work, with family. So I think, in my mind, that makes the coming to Sabbath services even more important every week because we need to be with one another. I didn't think, we go there quite often, but Hebrews chapter 10. I think it's good to go. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 because I think it leads into our next point. First point is what fellowship have we been called into? Well, we are called in the fellowship of God the Father, a fellowship that defines our life by walking in light, walking the way Christ walked. And yet there are difficulties in doing that because it is different than the way the world does it. In verse 23 in chapter 10 of Hebrews, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful." Let's stay strong. Let's persevere. God will reward us when the time comes. Excuse me. And then in verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." You know, those difficulties that we have and we go through, we assemble together to come out of the world, to be among people who walk in the same fellowship that we are walking in. We are not alone in this. And that encourages us. That's why it says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Exhort one another. Come together so you guys can be encouraged. That's the whole point. As we get closer and closer to the end, it's going to get more and more difficult. And that leads us to the next point. We are part of a fellowship. So what role does the act of fellowshipping play within our fellowship? Our fellowship that we share with one another through God the Father and Jesus Christ is built by the act, the verb of fellowshipping. Fellowshipping builds our fellowship. Again, growing up, I always heard that we had a fellowship, and then I just saw people getting together and having snacks and eating, and the adults chit-chatting about whatever. And that's not wrong. That's part of fellowshipping. But in reality, the verb of fellowshipping literally means the act of building and growing the bond of fellowship. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I didn't have in my notes, but I think it's, I've been reading Ephesians 4 a lot over the past several weeks. Because Ephesians 4 addresses a congregation, specifically that one in Ephesus. And Paul is exhorting what this fellowship needs to do, what the individuals need to do, and fellowshipping and building the fellowship. and I think we have time. I'll read through a good chunk of it starting in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling in which you were called. Walk in the light. You were called into God's fellowship. Walk according to that fellowship. Stand in awe of what you've been called to do. We've been called to walk in the fellowship of God. And it says, walk worthy. Be careful how you walk, because it's a magnificent calling that we've been given. Don't take it lightly. With all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. This is a group effort. Obviously, we are individually accountable to God, but we come together as an assembly. Church is not the word church is not anywhere in the New Testament. Ecclesia, which just means called out assembly. And the translators say church. We are called out from the world and assembled together by God. It's not an individual, it's a team sport, so to speak. We do it together. We're in it together. Bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Make every effort to keep this fellowship together. Keep the bond of peace together. And that's what endeavoring means. Make every effort. Fellowship. Fellowship with one another. Build that fellowship, the verb, by making every effort. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's one fellowship from God the Father through Jesus Christ. And just as Paul was addressing the Corinthians, speak the same thing. Let there be no tears or rips or divisions among you. And then in verse 7, but to each one of us the grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Jesus Christ is the head of this fellowship. God the Father has appointed him as such, and as such, we have been given gifts to help the fellowship, to grow with one another, to encourage one another. Let's go down to verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? All these gifts that God gives for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for building of the fellowship. For building of the fellowship. They're not for selfish purposes or to be seen, but God gives these gifts so that we can help one another. For the equipping of the saints. For helping each other grow, edifying one another, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of fullness of Christ. Our gifts are to help each other grow in the character of God, to help mature each other, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lay in wait to deceive. You know, the world is constantly trying to trip us up. Satan is constantly trying to trip us up. We should have in this fellowship, in our fellowship, the fellowship of God, there should be a safety. We should be coming together to build each other up, not to trip each other up, not to gain a following, to do our own thing. How do we do that? By speaking the truth in love. May grow up into all things whom is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by which every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth for the body, for the edifying of itself in love. I think it's important to go through that. We are to edify one another, to help each other grow. That's what fellowshipping is. It's not a chit-chat over a cup of coffee. That's part of it. But the purpose of the chit-chat over a cup of coffee is so that we can help each other grow, to edify each other, to grow in our bond together. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Our fellowship is deeper than the surface. Just like our fellowship defines our life, it should define how we relate to each other. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. Now, these if statements are true. Paul is kind of presenting an argument saying, if this is true, well, hopefully we all recognize that it is true. We do have a fellowship of the Spirit. That's the fellowship we're part of. If any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Keep that fellowship strong. There's a unity. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. This is the frame of mind that we have to have in order to build our fellowship. When we come together, we should look at each other with honor and respect. Esteem the person sitting next to us better than ourselves. Support each other. And yes, we talk to each other, hopefully every week and then throughout the week. But not just how was the day, how was the weather, but getting down to the deep issues that we experience. You know, because we are different in this world. And we know we struggle, hopefully. We struggle against the world. If we don't, we may want to consider why we're not struggling. But we need to support each other physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. This is where we can come, and I can say, I understand what you're going through because I'm struggling with the same things. Galatians 6 says, bear one another's burdens. We're to help each other. In order to do that, we need to get to know each other intimately. Feel open enough to share our struggles, which is hard to do. It's hard to do to say, you know what, I'm not perfect. We all know it, but to actually come out and say it and actually give us, well, I'm not perfect, I'm struggling with this, and then you're afraid you get the one of those looks where the eyes get big and then they make an excuse to go talk to somebody else. Hopefully that wouldn't happen, but we should be able to share our shortcomings. You know, if we don't share them, how do we just assume everybody's doing fine when we could be struggling with something, but instead we can support each other. On the same token, we share in our successes. We should share in our successes. Encouraging, saying, you know what? I told you last week that I was struggling with this. Well, I've really been working on it, praying on it, and I had a breakthrough. You know, really showing love for one another. There's a selflessness when it comes to fellowshipping. We need to put ourselves on the back burner and put the other person on the front burner, so to speak. That means positive and negative. Positive things in our life. Negative things in our life. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, talking about sharing with one another, fellowshipping with one another, the bond that we have as a whole. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all been made to drink into one Spirit. Again, Paul addressing what we read in Galatians. There's no divisions like you would see in the world within the body of Christ, within the fellowship of Jesus Christ. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. We look around this room. I didn't take a count. Probably should get a count. I usually do that during the sermon. But there's probably 25 of us. There's not one of us. There's 25 of us. But we're part of one body. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Can we say whatever we think of ourselves as different? In this case, well, I'm a Jew, so I'm not part of that body of Gentiles. No, you're a foot, and that's part of the body. You serve a purpose in that body, and that's the truth for each and every one of us. Excuse me. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? Where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? We begin to see what Paul is saying here. There's a purpose to each and every one of us within the body. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as he pleased. As God pleased, as he set us in the fellowship. It's not up to each and every one of us to elbow out somebody we don't think belongs. That's not our job. God sets in the fellowship as he sees fit. As he sees fit. Continuing on, it says, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? And now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. That ties back to Philippians 2. Do we esteem each other better than ourselves? Do we think more highly of ourselves than we ought? Or do we look and give honor to each one as they serve the purpose? That there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. If one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice of it, with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Our fellowship is not simply a group that gets together on Saturdays for Sabbath services and a cup of coffee. We should be sharing in each other's joys, sharing in each other's sorrows, rejoicing and weeping with one another. We need to be supporting each other. If we're having a difficult time with the pressures of walking in this fellowship, you know, we walk in the light, and we talked about that. The world is putting pressure on us to no longer walk in the light. The act of fellowshipping is one of the ways that we can turn to for help. We go to God, but we can get support from one another. That's what we can turn to. We can be open and share with each other somebody who may have experienced a similar thing. We're all striving to live lives that being part of this fellowship requires. We're all struggling in one area or another. I hate to break it to us. We're all struggling. We cannot push them with our elbows like we read in that story. If someone comes to us and says, I'm struggling, I don't think we have anybody who plays basketball. We'll continue with that. If I'm struggling with the pressure to play basketball on the Sabbath, maybe, you know, I never went to a track meet on Saturday. But didn't mean my mind was focused on the Sabbath. My mind may have been there, and I'm struggling with keeping my mind focused on the Sabbath and what it means because I'm really thinking about that track meet. If someone comes and says, I'm struggling with the basketball games on Friday nights or Saturdays. Well, I tell you what, next Sabbath, why don't you come to our house Friday night for dinner? We'll talk to one another. You don't have to worry. We'll fellowship. We'll share a meal together. We'll talk with one another. And you can forget all about that basketball game. Too bad. Good luck with that. Better pray about it because you're really sinning if you don't do whatever, you know, if you keep thinking about that basketball game. No, we're supposed to be there with one another. Provide an opportunity for fellowship. Fellowshipping, build that bond. In doing so, if we invited that person over and had dinner, maybe that would help them. And that would build the bond that we share with one another. That'd be fellowshipping, building the bond. You know, not forgetting any one of us among ourselves. There's no such thing as a perfect group of 5 of God's people, or 6 of God's people, or 25. You know, God has set each member in the body as he sees fit. Whether that's 20, 30, 40, 15,000. And our fellowship, our fellowshipping, is part of what we read in Ephesians 4. What every joint supplies, we are all joints. We all should be building in that fellowship, growing together. That's our fellowshipping. If we elbow out one in that fellowship, it's literally like cutting off a toe. If we take the analogy that Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, so I don't know what part we would each of us is, but think of it as your own physical body. How much of your body are you willing to chop off? Anybody want to go for a finger? Hand? Well, we can do an auction here. What happens if I chop off my finger? I'll survive, I'll just. What happens if I chop off my hand? well, it takes a little more adjusting. I'm right-handed, so if I lost my right hand, I'd have to learn how to do everything left-handed. Well, what happens if I chop off both hands? If you keep chopping off parts of your body, you're not going to survive. And yet, we as human beings, our human nature, we can look at the differences between each other and say, they're not worth it, and we can chop off our hand. Just in one clean motion. And we don't think anything of it. Well, that's not what we're to be doing. You know, my guess, and I didn't take a vote of hands, but my guess is most of us would be unwilling to lose any one of our appendages. We wouldn't willingly give up any one of them. Do we have that same love for each other? Which one of us are we willing to give up on? Which one of us are we willing to say, well, it's not worth the effort to take care of this person? This person is more of a burden than they are a help. Let's get rid of them. Let's slowly elbow them out until they no longer are part of our fellowship. We can't do that to anybody. Now, there are differences in personalities. That's not worth breaking the fellowship. That's not worth cutting them off. And that's the role of fellowshipping within our fellowship, the Church of God. It's very prominent. It's not simply a chit-chat, but it's literally the act of growing and building up and edifying the fellowship that we've been called into, growing that body. Not necessarily numbers. We've talked about that before. Is just because we don't have five people, new people in this front row, doesn't mean we're not growing. Growing spiritually, helping each other grow and overcome, and becoming more like God the Father in character, holding each other accountable. This isn't, we don't go into all the details, but it's not simply, rainbows and butterflies. When you talk about struggles, we all experience struggles, and some of them are very, very serious, and it's not something we can laugh off. We have to address those. It's a very serious thing. It's a full support of one another. Struggles, successes, joys, sorrows. We can, and that transcends to people who are not in this building necessarily. I think we were talking a couple weeks ago, just something that blows my mind, Michaela Deemer. Do you remember that story that did a Beyond Today? Andy Deemer, his daughter was murdered, and he addressed the man who killed his daughter. How moving that was. Can you imagine coming to services one day and talking with Andy Deemer, who was the gentleman whose daughter died, and saying, how was your week? My daughter was murdered. What do you say? What do you say that can be genuine other than just be there for them, whatever they need? And that can be anything. There's so many trials that we go through that we can be there to support one another. Struggles, sins we need help overcoming, we can't do it. We can't do it on our own. We all need God's help. We also need the help of each other. And that's what we're called to in this fellowship. And our fellowshipping is the act of building that fellowship, strengthening that bond we share. The question that I always think of is, is what I'm doing helping myself and others get to the kingdom? It's fairly simple. It can get more complicated, but we should be helping each other as we all strive with a common goal. We're not saying, well, help me a little bit and I'll go over here and you go over there. No, we're all going for the same goal, the kingdom of God. And we need to help each other get there as much as we can. Help each other get there. There is a line from that short story that we read. And it said, finally, we stood in a row. People began to notice us and they pointed and said, those five just came out of that house. Since then, we have been living together. It would be a peaceful life if it weren't for the sixth one continually trying to interfere. And that goes on. But I thought that's an interesting point and an interesting perspective that we need to compare ourselves against. When we compare that story to us in the Church of God and ask the question, is there anybody in our fellowship that we view as that sixth person? Maybe we are the sixth person. I think it's worth asking. Have we endeavored to keep the unity of the Spirit, as we read in Ephesians 4? Make every effort. How deep does our fellowship go? How deep does our fellowship go? After services, we'll definitely talk. right? What will we talk about? What will be our fellowshipping? Will we build bonds today? Will we build the bond of the fellowship we've been called into? Or will a Sabbath pass and we will have done nothing to grow our body spiritually? Something we can ask ourselves each and every Sabbath, each and every day, whether it's praying for one another. When I get down on my knees, am I saying, I'd really like a Ferrari and a new house? Or is it outwardly thinking, as we read in Philippians? Are we thinking of each other? You know, hey, I know, I don't want to say any names, I can use Tiffany. I know Tiffany's really struggling with whatever the case may be, and pray for her. That's fellowshipping. That's building the bonds with one another, keeping them in mind, rejoicing with her, or sorrowing with each other. It's an interesting point when we look at what we just read about today and what we looked about today. The question that we asked, what fellowship do we belong to in the church of God? We belong to the fellowship of God the Father through Jesus Christ. It's a high calling. It's a magnificent calling, something to stand in awe of, something that defines our lives, how we live, how we strive to live every day. It's not an everyday run-of-the-mill fellowship. This association that we have affects our lives completely, defines it. And beyond that, that's the noun. We are part of the noun, the fellowship of God. But we've also been called to the verb. We've been called to fellowship with one another, action-wise, build one another up, build our fellowship up. Our fellowshipping should be more than just casual conversations. It should be getting to know and support and love one another deeply, intimately, the core of our being, undefiled love for one another. Those are big things. You know, the fellowship we've been called into and the service we've been called into, to fellowship with one another. And it takes a lifetime to even perfect that, but we should be striving ever more to hone our fellowshipping, the verb, in to where it's profitable, beneficial, meaningful. And always keep in mind the question, is there anyone that we may be pushing away with our elbows? As the story said, I like that, because it's maybe passive-aggressive. Someone comes up to you and you just kind of, rather than pushing full on, we kind of do it passive-aggressively. Just don't get so close. You're a little too close for comfort. Is there anyone that we do that with? And think about that and pray and say, do I harbor any hard feelings towards anyone in this room or anyone in the Church of God, the Fellowship of God? If the answer is yes, I don't know where the scripture is, but you know, if any of you have something against, come to the altar with a gift and have something against a brother, leave the gift, go reconcile with the brother. If there's anybody in our fellowship that we harbor hard feelings to, that we've pushed with our elbows, we need to mend that. So today we looked at fellowshipping, the importance of fellowship, the fellowship we belong to, the fellowship we've been called to be a part of and enact of. What can we do more to fellowship with one another? Let's think about that this week. As we discuss today, fellowship is very important and vital to each and every one of us.